Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I greet you in that precious name. I count it a privilege to be here this morning, but I've been reading in the budget you have a lot of visiting ministers, so I was kind of inclined when they asked me, you preach, because I don't want you to get rusty where I'm retired. But with your prayers and by the grace of God, I will share a message from the Word with you. I was tempted to say amen and sit down after Brother Jonathan shared what he did. It's right down some of the same line that I'm thinking about. And when he talked about that over wherever country it was, that building was deteriorating because it was not used, I had to think of something in our community. I had helped build some houses, and this man lived not too far from then, and we learned to know him. He also built houses, but he built less expensive houses. In the area where he lived, it was more those type of houses. Well, one day, he must have made some money. He bought 35 acres of land up on a hill. And our daughter and husband and family lived in a trailer house on a hill as well. But it, as a crow flies, probably half a mile away. And on this middle of this hill, he built a big two-story house. It was white, and you could see it a long ways off. And we had a daughter that had been involved some in counseling girls. And she wasn't married. And when we go there to visit, she'd look over there on that hill. And she said, I would like to have that house someday, to have a girl's home. And but the bottom line was, when the man had it all up, the interior was not finished, but the outside looked completely finished. His wife decided she did not want to move there. And yet she wouldn't let him sell it. And there it sat for years and years. And I met him one day and I said, would you sell me that house so I could fix it up? He said, no, I can't. Well, the day came. They literally brought the roof was leaking. The birds were getting inside. And they tore it down. What a waste. What a waste. This morning, God has called us into his kingdom for a purpose, to serve him. And I was going to use this verse last, but I just felt inspired to use it first. And that is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And I believe if we're going to serve God in heaven, I believe we need to start on the earth. And so that verse has been a blessing to me, and I hope it can be to you. As I think of being here this morning, I count it a privilege and a blessing to be here this weekend, to rejoice with my big brother Robert and his wife Lydia and the family and with you as a church family. But it also brought a sadness in my heart when I thought of this. My wife and I have been married 58 years, and we had a neighbor. This has been maybe 20, 30 years ago, I'm not sure. They were part of our church, and we were talking about marriage and as it gets better as you get older. You young ones don't know yet, but we trust you will arrive to that if God blesses you. But anyhow, this sister got a smile on her face, and she said, oh, is it like antique furniture? The older it gets, more valuable it is. That just struck me right. And I quoted that sister many a time already in messages on the home. A few weeks ago, and they left our church then. They were neighbors as well. And a few weeks ago, I got the message that they are not living together. They are not living together. How sad. They've probably been married 40-some years. I'm not sure how long. But you know, the enemy of our souls is out there to try to destroy them. I think my wife and I, my wife hasn't been here for several years because of her health, but I think we've been coming here to this congregation, to this community, because of Robert, of course, for over 54 years. But I like to think that my memories of this congregation or its founder goes back a lot further than that. In Catlett, where we used to live, we didn't have a Christian day school. And then I'm not sure what year it was, maybe 55, 56. The church decided to have a school. And dear brother Eli Miller, we call him Peg Leg because he had lost his leg many years ago. He was like a father to me especially. I would have been around him. He died, I'm not sure, was it 96 or 97. But he knew Brother Dan Byler, who was your first minister in this congregation. He knew him well, and he knew his love and dedication for Christian education. So he was invited to come to the church there. I wasn't a part of the church. I was probably only 12, 13 years old, to speak on the Christian Day School. And I'll never forget that. I don't remember much what he said, but I do know he had enthusiasm for the Christian school. And then sometime later, maybe 56, no, it was more like 57 or 58. Our sister and family lived in Minerva, Ohio, and they decided to move back to Virginia, so they had auction. And I had the privilege at 16 years old to go to that, to be with them. Their son and I were very close. And then my brother-in-law said, Sunday they're having an ordination in a tent meeting up in Joggin County, Ohio. And asked if I would want to go along. They said they have an ordination that evening, and he told me who was in the lot. And I, being a young boy that only knew one of them, of course, Dan Byler. And I said, well, he'll probably be ordained, just because of the one time I had met him. And we went, and sure enough, he was ordained. And so through the years, he's preached at our church. He preached at our mother's funeral. He was a very dear brother. And occasionally, in my travels, he spelled his name just like we do. So someone would ask me, are you related to Dan Byler? And I said, I hope not. And, of course, they sit back, what's wrong with Dan Byler? I said, there's nothing wrong with that dear brother. But I said, he is my brother's father-in-law. Oh, okay. That took care of it. But I remember the last time he was there. We didn't have any handrails, and the poor brother had an awful time to get up to the podium. And we all sat there and looked at him. And our son, who was also in the ministry, when he got home, his wife gave him a pretty good going over. And that evening, he got up behind the pulpit and with tears and apologized that he did not help him. Well, it's been quite a few years, but we also have him now, finally. But that's not what this service is about. If you will turn with me to James chapter 2. Now, we're living in a world today that talks a lot about the love of God. And one of our politicians in our community, when they were discussing the thing of same-sex marriages and changing sex and all this, he wrote an article in our local paper as a Christian and said that, Jesus loves those people just as well. I've known them all these years, and I know they've changed, but God loves them. He does. But God also has a book for us to read and to obey. I wish I could tell you the website. Last Sunday morning, Brother Ken Miller, most of you know who he is at least, he preached a message. He's preaching a series of messages from the book of Romans. And we'll be looking at some of those verses. But it was just a blessing to hear him preach the word of God. I kind of lost my thought there for what I wanted to share. But anyhow, let's turn to James chapter 2. I'd like to read a few verses here. It's been by maybe 2 years or so ago. We had a couple that spent the weekend in our home, and they were from another state. And they shared the burden that there in their congregation, they don't hear messages on works. And they were concerned about it. Now, I think you, and then after that time, I was reading in the New Testament, through the whole New Testament. I began to take a piece of paper, and every time I saw the word works or serve, I wrote it down. And I was amazed at how many times we find it in the Bible. Yes, we are not saved by our works. All right, let's turn to James chapter 2, begin reading in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man may be have faith, say he have faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. What would thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I worked with a Mennonite pastor one time who was in our community for 2 years while their pastor was across the water in mission work. And he was a very active person, and he was jubilant, and he had led songs for the Bronx revivals, but he was a very enthusiastic person. But one thing he would tell you, now, if somebody asks you to do something, don't tell them you don't know. Do it. And they asked him one time if he would flash the chimney on a house. And he said, sure. He didn't know what he was doing. And, you know, sometimes we would wish that he would be humble enough to acknowledge that he will try, but he really doesn't know, and open himself up to a little help. That's helpful. You know, sometimes in the paper you find somebody wanting help, a plumber or whatever, and he says, if you aren't experienced, we'll be glad to send you to school and give you an apprentice or whatever and teach you. Well, if he comes back and he decides he doesn't want to do plumbing work, well, he's not a plumber. And I believe with a Christian that God has called us to serve him and to be of service. And like Brother Jonathan mentioned, that we never know what impact our life will have on someone else. And I praise God for that. Now I'd like to look at a number of verses in Romans. In this last verse that we read, where it says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, I just did a little studying, and I found out that that how many times in the Old Testament the word Abraham is. Why? I can't find it. I wrote it down. Yeah, here it is. In the Old Testament, Abraham's name is approximately 60 times. In the New Testament, approximately 110 times. And Father of the Nation, I think, is about 147 times. And then the book of Romans, it's 9 times. In Galatians, it's 8 times. And in Hebrews, is it 10. Well, we talk about the Old Testament, but Abraham was carried on into the New because he was the father of faith. And what a blessing as we think about that. Now, I'd like to look at a few verses here in Romans that were a blessing to me. Brother Ken had read these. In Romans chapter 4, that's where he was preaching from. And it says in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Now, I don't claim to understand all of this, but I know it's the word of God. And I know that Abraham was saved because his righteousness were because of his journey of faith. I'm not sure I ever noticed this, at least if I did, I had forgotten it. The phrase here, but it says, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our Father. You know, the Christian life, our lives are a journey. We're here just for a time. And I believe we need to follow the steps of Abraham. One of our problems in life many times is we look too far ahead. But I believe this scripture talks about footsteps, walking day by day, moment by moment, steps towards God, and that we lift him up. This morning, Brother Joseph was in, when the ministers gathered, was asked to lead in prayer. And he said, we thank you, Father, for who you are. I've done that a few times, probably many times. But really, do we understand that, what we pray? We thank you for who you are. And we do. We recognize him. But it's very difficult to totally and fully understand him. But we never get to the place where we cannot learn and learn to know our Father more. You know, sometimes we face difficulties in life. And my wife and I, she's had maybe 18 or 20 surgeries in her life. And sometimes we get a little despaired. But then, you know what we do? We think about the things that we do have, or the blessings that we do have, and look to them and thank God for them and dwell in it. And that's what God wants us to do. So you can always find someone that has more difficulties than you do. And I praise God. You know, my brother and I, our father died when I was 9, he was 12. And then he So life wasn't always easy. I remember when my father died, I was sitting out on the porch between his death and the funeral as a 9-year-old boy. And we lived right close to the road. And people went past, even church people, with their horse and buggies back then. And you know what? I was wondering what they think about me. And I was dwelling in self-pity, feeling sorry for myself. You can't live that way. And even adults, we can do that. But if we stop and think about all the blessings that God has provided for us. I never knew any grandparents. My mother's father was married 4 times and had children with all 4 wives. And so I didn't know any grandparents. And just many things. I felt like I missed out on life. I was working with my son one day here some years ago, and a boy whose father had died, I had known him, man in the community there. He looked at me, and he said, "Do you enjoy working with your son?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I would love to be able to do that." But he said, "My father has passed on." But anyhow, one day I was thinking, this hasn't been too many years ago, and I do this every now and then. I told my family and I told the church the other Sunday as a testimony. I said, life has not always been fair for me. Maybe I didn't use that term, but it hasn't. And yours too either. But there have been difficulties. I didn't have any grandparents. My father, being he was 66 years old when I was born, was more like a grandfather. And, you know, life really wasn't that easy. And sometimes I wasn't able to do things that other children can. I remember one of the young people asking me to go with them to do something. And another brother that knew me better, knew my life, he didn't think I hurt him, but I did. He went to this brother and encouraged him to be careful. I have a mother that I'm also responsible for, and etc. And I was glad for that. But anyhow, as I began to think of my life and some of the difficulties and yet how God has blessed me today, and I honor and I glorify him for that. But another thing that came to my memory very vividly, some of the privileges we did not have. Robert and I were reminiscing about some of this since I'm here. Some of the blessings that we didn't have, God brought other people into our lives to assist us in our journey of life. And I thank him and I praise him for that. And I appreciate those that come along beside. You know, I think that's the definition of the Holy Spirit too, about coming along aside and empowering us and enabling us. So I have many people that I look back at and thank God for their impact on my life. We have a dear brother who moved into our community in 1963 and from Montezuma, Georgia. Became part of the Mount Zion Church there. He had a family, and we didn't have a Christian day school. Elementary, they had a high school because they had to go beyond to 16. And so his children, of course, went to the public school. It was probably less than a mile from where they lived. And he got a job of being a janitor in that school. And so after school, his children would stay there and help him clean the school and et cetera. And then later, a few years later, we did have a Christian day school. And of course, his children went there. But he continued working in the public school as a janitor. Now, this man's name also was Beiler, but it was B-E-I-L-E-R. Well, I started a business in 72 and met lots and lots of people. This brother, I think he moved out of the community in about 69 or 70. I cannot tell you how many people, adults, that I have met that asked me, "Do you remember Eli Beiler?" He said, "I went to school there when I was in grade school. And he said he was just the most wonderful man. He loved his job. And he did it right. And just over and over. I mean, these aren't children. These are adults that would tell me, do you remember him? And I said, yes, I do. And he died. He moved back. His wife had died. And his son took care of him in the last 2 or 3 months of his life. But he was 90-some, I think. But I don't think it's been 2 months. I met another person. He looked at me and he said, do you remember the biler that was a janitor in the school? And I said, I do. Well, he left an impact on my life. And this has been, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And that's just a blessing to me. And I believe we should be known because of God, not about our own righteousness, but having the righteousness of God within us. And that's just been a blessing to me. I like to, I'm going to run out of time here. I'd like to look at it, just a couple of verses yet. Galatians chapter 8. Well, it's not Galatians chapter 8. We don't have that many chapters. I wasn't sure that that was right, but I don't know where I... I'm not sure where it is. But it has to do with works. All right, let's turn to... Turn back to James. James chapter 2. We read this, but I'd like to read it again. Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, I'd like to emphasize the fact that faith, we can only be saved by faith. I talked much about works when I was reading and would copy these down. My wife was beginning to believe I'm a works salvation, but I assured her that I wasn't. But if we're saved and we have the power of Christ within us, there's going to be a response of that which we have experienced. Now, I recognize there are people that are handicapped or are bedfast, and they wonder, what can I do? But they have opportunity to give their testimony when you visit them and show their blessing, show the peace on their hearts. And sometimes I marvel. I go away from those people hanging my head, thinking how many blessings more that I have than they do. A number of years ago, we had an older couple in our church. He's passed on. She's still living. She's 90-some years old. We had fellowship lunch after church. And the brother came to me and he said, my wife wants to talk to you. Now, this dear brother, when they were married, only a couple years, he got polio. And he was rather discouraged with this polio. But I'll tell you a little further now. So I went over to his wife, and I said, I understand you want to talk to me. And she said, yes. They had moved, and said, I was going through some of our belongings, and I came across a greeting card that your mother sent us. And she said, when my husband had polio, we lived in Catlett, and they lived in Stuart Straft, and she didn't really know him that well, but she found out about it. She was an avid budget reader, and she even wrote in the budget when she was still single back in Virginia Beach. Robert showed me some excerpts from her letter, and back in the 40s, early 40s, And he said, your mother sent us this card as an encouragement. Would you like to have it? I said, yes, I'd be glad to have it. So she gave it to me. And that was a gift that my mother had, was writing, encouraging people. And that's a blessing. And I believe there are going to be many people, as the Bible tells us in one place, that respond and say, no, I didn't know I did this. I didn't know I did that. I've had people come and thank me for something that they say I did. I said, you know what? I don't even remember that. And that's fine with me. But I believe if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be servants of His. And we're going to, and we want, when we serve God, we want Him to be glorified because of our deeds. And I praise God for that. You know, turning to Ephesians chapter 2. Eight through ten. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that beautiful as we think about that? But he's simply saying, we're saved by grace, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have some dear friends from the community that moved in from Virginia Beach 20-some years ago. It's a story in itself. Day after Christmas, his wife died. We had become very close. They're about the same age we are, married about the same amount of years. And so we've been having him in our home, and he's been taking us out for lunch and things. And he's just a very grateful man. Well, he has a brother in North Carolina, and he'd been down to visit his son and brother, and so his brother brought him home. We had never met him. So he brought him to our house and said, I'd like you to meet my brother. He was a big man. He came in and we got to talking. He wouldn't sit down. They had to leave. So you all just sit there and we'll talk. They had lived in Virginia Beach as well. And then we started talking about conditions in the world. That's kind of a favorite sometimes, is it not? And he looked at me and he said, you people don't have things to worry about, or you're able to handle them better than we are. The world expects something of us as children of God. They say it affects our life. That's why they like our people as plumbers, because they should be knowing what they're doing. Our new governor in Virginia, he had splashed across the paper, what we need is to teach our people to work. He's right. But for the child of God, it's the works of God that we need to be involved in. And I praise God for that. You know, I was traveling with Delta Airlines coming out here. Went from Charlottesville to Atlanta, and Atlanta to Springfield. And I don't know that these were Christian people or not. I don't know that. But there was something about those employees that impressed me. One was, it was evident they enjoyed their work. And the other was, they smiled about it. I don't know about you, but a smile affects me. I tell my wife that's why I married her the first time I saw her. But as I got off the plane in Atlanta, a steward was standing there. Maybe it's a pilot. I don't remember for sure what it was. When I went out, he had the biggest smile on his face. And he said, thank you, my friend. Have a good day. I actually felt like I had a friend. I had a couple hour wait, and I was there in the gate area. Of course, there were lots of people were there, and I decided I'd call my wife, let her know I arrived this far safely, and it was very busy. Then I saw the gate. It said Roanoke, Virginia behind it. I was almost ready to, maybe I should go with that, you know, go back home. It was difficult for me to leave this time. And so anyhow, I went over to that desk. Nobody was there. And just so get out of the noise a little bit and talk to her. And I finished. I was walking away. Here comes a pilot, a Delta pilot. And he said, with a smile on his face, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Well, I don't think so." And then he said, "Well, you were just standing here, and I didn't know if you needed help or not." And so we got in some pretty good discussion. And I don't know how we got on the subject of marriage and been married 58 years. Well, he'd been 33 years. And I told him a little bit about my family history, that my father had 19 children. When he got done, he said, "I have never talked to anybody that comes from such a large family. And this has been interesting." And I think maybe his, and then he told me, and then we start talking about marriage. I know of three couples, not from our church community folks, that eloped and got married. They couldn't get a license in the state of Virginia at their age. And all three of those are still together, have been married 50-some years. And one is 44 years. Our neighbor is one of them. And I said, you know, back then, they knew it was for life. And this pilot said, he said, "Well, I asked my wife to marry me on our second date." And I said, "We'd say today that that's not very good. But," I said, "I'm glad you are together." And he said he is. But one thing he did say, "One thing I regret, I did not learn to know her father before I asked her to marry me." The respect that he had, and that blessed me. I've been writing some things down about works that have blessed me. Yesterday we saw at a restaurant, we saw a lady with a t-shirt. On the back it had, "Honor God, love people, serve both." I thought that was very interesting. And then another one is, sorry, I wrote it down. It's in my book. That's what it is. Make sure you test positive for faith. Keep your distance from doubt. Pardon me. Keep your distance from doubt. Isolate yourself from fear and trust through it all. What a challenge, what a blessing as we think about that. Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. Faith with works is without works is dead. When your faith takes the lead, courage will follow. True service is love for Christ in work clothes. Now, I am a woodworker, and when I work with wood and see some of its beauty, I always respond, "My Father or my Creator created that." Well, I brought a little piece of wood along this morning. I wish it was a little bigger that I could show you what I'm talking about. But a couple years ago, I had bought another pickup and had a cap on it. And we liked to go to town and put our groceries in the back, but they would slide up, you know, step on the brake a little bit, and they were up at the other end. And so I decided to make me a little ladder that about 20 inches in from the end. I made it out of yellow pine, and it works good. We put our groceries up against there, and they're there when we get home. But as I was ripping these yellow pine 2x6 to make 2x2s, all of a sudden I looked at something. There was a little knot on the side, and I don't think it was bigger than the end of my pen. And from that, the grain went out, and I stood there and marveled at the beauty of that. I ended up cutting it out, and I had four little blocks, and I took those to church one time and threw them out to the people to pass around to look at it. Then I went and glued them together and made a little chopping block, I called it, big solid block, just to retain that beauty. And this stick here, you can't see it very well, but there's a knot here on the side. And if you look at that knot, this grain is straight, but here when that knot interfered with that grain. It was a stress point, and that changed the course of the grain. And you know, God brings, I know many of you have experienced struggles, pain, heartaches, grieving. But if we allow God to, He can use those experiences to bring out His beauty in our lives. This is only wood, but it's beauty. We went up to Versailles yesterday, met with a man that makes beautiful toys out of wood. He had a bored walnut that he saves when he wants something extra nice. And he got it out of a tree that has a crotch. Well, and then they cut that. And it's just absolutely amazing. The grain, how it goes all kinds of directions. And it's beautiful. Would to God that we recognize our need of Him. And here's another one. You see all this. This is a big knot, but you see all the grain, how it turns. And on this side, you don't see the knot, but you see the work of that knot. And this morning, God wants us as His children to honor Him, to serve Him, to glorify Him, and that we can be shining lights. That was another thing that I marked down that has been a tremendous blessing to me, is how many times the Bible speaks about light and life. The life of Jesus Christ and the light of Jesus Christ needs to be in our life. I have a writing here. I won't take time to read it, but there was a man in Europe or wherever it was, older man, been years ago, and he wanted to do something for the community he lived in. He felt he owed them something. A man of wealth, I assume. So he finally decided he's going to build them a church, and the people were not able to see it. He didn't see the plan, the blueprint, until it was finished. Then he invited him to church. And they went in and, you know, oohed and awed over the beautiful building. Finally, one person spoke up and he said, "Where's the lights? I don't see any lights." He said, "You see those brackets on the wall down there? Each side." Then he got a lamp and gave each one of them a lamp. And he said, "Now when you come to church, you be sure you bring your lamp." And he said, "If you don't, there'll be no light there in that area." Maybe we do the same thing. If we're not there, we don't have that light there. It's a little hard to prove people that we really love them and part of it. Now, I have to acknowledge my wife and I don't do as much of that in the evenings. I could go, but I see the need of staying home and supporting her.